been a long time, man. And I want to welcome someone who's joining me. It's someone that you have not actually heard before on this show. You already know who I am. This is Stephanie Postles. But I have a new co-host that's going to be joining me. Albert, introduce yourself. Tell people why you're here.
Well, I'm going to find out, hopefully, why I'm here. But my name's Albert. Last name is pronounced Chow, like puppy chow. Actually, it's pronounced many different ways. If you ask any Chinese person with this last name, they'll just say it a different way. But I've known Stephanie for quite a while. I've been behind the scenes at Mission since 2019. I'm currently the host of IT Visionaries. I took over for Ian back in, like, I don't even know. I think it was 2020. But yeah, we've been long running the ops and the company, Mission Studios. And I definitely preferred a behind the scenes seat, but I keep getting pulled to the front of the seat, front of camera.
As you should. I want you in the spotlight, baby. So, okay, I was looking today at when we last published Mission Daily, and it was like August 2020. So I'm sure anyone who even saw this episode pop up on their feed, they're like, what the hell? Like, where have these people been?
Yeah, it's
been
cow.
Like 2 years. Like,
new
are they
activity.
Alive? Yeah, and that's a good question. Like, are we alive? Am I alive? Like, what has been happening these past couple years? And that's what I want this first episode back to kind of cover of, like, where have we been? What the hell have we been doing? Why have we not been publishing? So that's what we're going to start with, just to kind of go through where we've been. So take it back to 2020. Let me think time and place of where we were. I had the twins. They came in 2020. Things were going great for a month or two. And then Mission was on the path to destruction soon after the twins came, if I'm getting the timeline right. It was like a couple months after they were born.
Crack started forming probably in, you know, in mid 2019. So I didn't get started at Mission until June 2019. I had helped another software company scale, and then I had joined another software startup company. I was at a company called Pureport. We got acquired well before it ever got big, but Pureport was a data and infrastructure. And I remember I called Stephanie and Chad and I said, hey, you know, and I was already slotting guests on Mission Daily anyway. And I was like, man, you know, I'm not really that happy where I'm at. It's pretty boring what I do for a living. And I want to do something more interesting. And you guys seem to know and understand podcasts. I understood and recognized that podcasts were becoming more popular, even though I didn't really have a preferred podcast, but I just wanted to learn more about it. And so I reached out to Stephanie and Chad and I said, hey, I've scaled services companies before. I've primarily been in software, but I feel like it could be similar. Do you need help? And that's how I joined the company.
Yep. Yeah. And for additional background too, Albert is like family. Like, he's connected to me through family relationships. And I had met him, I think, like 10 years before you joined Mission. So it's like you were already in a circle of ours, but I did not even know how you would end up landing into my life in a completely different way than how I met you snowboarding.
That's right.
In a small
That's
town
right.
in Pennsylvania.
So my wife has a second cousin, and that second cousin's name is Seth. And Seth is married to Stephanie's sister, twin sister, that is. And that's how we actually, the first time we met was at their joint bachelorette party, which I've never heard of one happening. It was in the Poconos. I remember that part. We went snowboarding. I had never snowboarded before, so I showed up like a couple days early. Be like, I need to take some lessons. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing up here. Fell down a mountain a couple times. But that's how I met Chad and Stephanie. They were very into an education app at the time, so technology. Yeah. I was working at a software company. We were on our way to being acquired. And we got hit it off there, you know, regardless of being secondary family members or whatever, hit it off there because we did seem to have some common interests.
So then a long time later, pulling you into this company that, I mean, at the time in 2019, I was a minority owner in
That's
Mission.
Right.
I think it was like 30%. I was still, when we started Mission, I was still working at Google. And we didn't want myself to have too much equity in case Google tried to come after it. It was a whole reason of why I was not a 50-50 owner. Totally fine. But yeah, when we pulled you in 2019, I feel like there was only a couple months of things going okay until I had to come to you and be like, shit's not going good. Like, this company's on the way down, and I was just scrambling to try and save it the best way I could. So...
Yeah, so for anyone Most startups, especially service-based startups, and I think a lot of our listeners probably are used to this, is like, you know, they talk about it enough, but they talk about it a little, but no one talks about it enough. Like, the biggest problem a business is going to have is actually, you know, they call it capitalization, but it's really cash flow. It's going to become a cash flow problem. So if you're listening, you guys hopefully fully are in control of your cash flow. But if you're not, cash flow, of course, is how many dollars come in through the door and your expenses that go out. And you need, in any given month, more dollars coming in the door to cover everything than you have dollars going out.
So simple.
If you deal with customers that pay on long windows, you got to be good with your money. And it became pretty clear that it's not anyone's, you know, specific fault, but the company wasn't good with its money. Like, that's when you started tapping me and I was like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there was definitely some decisions that were made from leadership at the time that were not very long-term thinking, and they were not supported financially from like what we actually had coming in. So yeah, at that point we're like end of 2020, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
The company is almost bankrupt.
Yeah.
And I remember I had to put in a personal loan to get our team past payroll. Everyone's probably
That's
like,
right.
Well, where's Chad? What happened to Chad? We were at that point getting divorced as well in that time frame. Yeah. No, we were already divorced, weren't we?
No, I don't think you had started that process yet. You weren't.
Well, we were divorced before the twins came. And the twins came in February 2020. We got divorced. Yeah, while I was pregnant.
I don't know what the timeline on that exactly was, mm-hmm. but I do know that it was a pretty treacherous thing, because I remember, you know, working with you, advising you. I was like, listen, you don't have to put money in. You're not really on the, like, this company's on the hook for mm-hmm. a lot of obligation. And, even if you put money in, that's what I told you. It's like,
yeah.
You still
and my
owe
best
more.
Friend put money in, which I'm like so surprised.
Shout out Jenny A.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to reveal who Jenny A is, but.
I mean, I'll just say her name is that. But like the fact that this girl put in, like my bestie put in money to float my team's payroll because I didn't want to lay people off at Christmas time. Like, and I remember telling her, I will not. Yeah. Pay you back, Jenny. There's no way. I do not see how I can pay you back from this company. There's like, it's just not going to work. I think we were in like $500,000 of like bills or more.
We had spent like, quite a bit of money. So, and all my friends remember this because I was at one of the, you know, we have a boys gathering every year. We call it the Pro Beanies, named after one John Prober, one of my friends. He's actually good friends with Rahul Gandhi, who I put on from Makespace, who I put on the show. The Pro Beanies, when we were at the Pro Beanies, I was like, they're like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying to get financing for this currently a convenience store, but it's supposed to become a studio. And they're like, so you're buying a building? I was like, not buying a building. Still going to.
I'm
literally
store.
Buying equipment and I'm willing to take over the lease so I can take over the space. And like, they're like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I was like, it's not a good thing, but you know, I'm not the boss either. So, but yeah. We had acquired financing. We had acquired the studio. What was to be a studio. This is all late 2019. Mm-hmm. So we were just racking up a lot of debt. I mean, that wasn't cheap. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel fine saying it. The rent on that place was over $13,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot.
So I was like, when are we going to monetize this space? Because that's just sucking money out of our coffers. It was a really trying time. You were going through a divorce. The bills were stacking up. It wasn't clear who was going to pull us out. We needed a lifeline. So then that's also when I was told to go get outside, get an SBA loan, get outside financing. Let's see if we can restructure our debt so that we could make it.
Yep. Yeah. You were getting us a loan while I was going and begging to get out of debt. I definitely pulled the pregnancy card. I just had twins. Like, I don't know. This debt was not ours. This was racked up by an old leadership that was not even, like, we should not even have.
But
this
it was
kind
the
of
business's
debt. It was the business's debt, but I did beg us out of some of it.
Like, yeah.
The Warriors box tickets, I begged us
well,
out of
that. Well, that's what I told you. I was like, you're almost better off saying, no, I don't want any part of this company and spinning up a new one.
Yeah.
And I remember. Because it actually happened. Sagan FM, if anyone wants to get their public, plug Sagan FM. If you want to get your podcast done and worked on a white label way, you could have the team from Mission. Go to Sagan.fm, a little plug for us. But that was the plan. It was like, okay, let's spin something else up.
Kill this company. Scrap it. Do not be liable for it. Let it go bankrupt. Start your own company. And that's, what we did in 2020, right? That's when we started.
Yeah, yeah. And then you were saying, the biggest challenge I see, though. And I was like, yeah, what's the challenge? And you said, I'm already approved supplier to these customers. Mm-hmm. How do we move all of them to the new company? I'm like, that's not going to be easy, because as soon as you ask for that, our bet was like their red flags would go up very quick. Like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it wasn't clear who owned the IP of the shows. It was the Mission shows. Yeah. Like, you'd be making. So we were like, okay. Then the next thing is you would also have to take over. So it was a big 2020 was like a big, like, what are we going to do here? Because the company one is saddled with debt, just unbelievable, crushing debt. Like, can't survive.
And I didn't own it full. Like, I didn't, you own didn't actually to own stop it. Things. I only own 30%. So no bank would listen to me when I was calling and saying, hey, this isn't like no, things that we should be getting into. Parties. Yep. No one would listen to me. And so that's why I was just like, I think I did for a little while. I was like, I will take your advice and I will back away from Mission because I don't have enough control over it anyways to make sound financial decisions. And so I was like, went and started Sagan. And I think Sagan, even though I got a client really quick with Sagan, Amdocs, first client, shout out. But I got it really quick from a Facebook message, which is wild to me thinking about where that like deal came from. But it was only like a few weeks after Sagan was launched. And I was just like getting into this full mindset of like, all right, I'm going to start a new company. We'll see what I can do. I'm just going to like let Chad deal with Mission, that he came and said, if you can pull Mission out of this, you can have majority equity of this company. And let's, like, if you can save it, you can have it. And so then we quickly kind of, I remember coming back and being like, Albert, I think I want to try and save Mission. We can keep Sagan open, but like, I want to save it. And I remember you being like, what? No, like, there's nothing here to save. We're in lots of debt. And
well, I was just like, the road is just so hard. I was like, it's not, to me, it was really hard, you know, and I didn't say I was right or wrong, but I was like, this is the decision I would make. I definitely, listen, if you're listening to me, look, I'm like water, man. You know, I'm going to go the path of least resistance. This is how I am. I like an easy life. You know, like, that's kind of what I do, even though some people would say I make terrible decisions too, even if I say I want an easy life. But at the time, I was encouraging to say, hey, this, you could start over. We could start over. There's not enough. I was like, there's not enough IP in any of these products to be like, you know, I have to have it kind of deal. I was like, we could start over. And then I remember because I was like, so to give everyone a scope of timing. So this is all going down right early 2020. Stephanie is pregnant with twins. She has her babies late February, right? Late February, early March.
February 2020. Yeah.
February 2020. She has her children, healthy baby boys. They're doing great. I don't know the difference between the two of them. They're twins. They look the same to me. I need help. So I need help. I'm looking for clues. I listen for clues. You know, I need help. I don't know the difference between those two. But then again, I don't know the difference between my kids too, and they're not twins.
I was going to say, do you even know? Yeah, they're like 10 years apart, and you're like, I still am a little uncertain.
Yeah, I'm working on it. But I had already, that was also the year I turned 40, and I had my, because I remember I had my 40th birthday, and I'd already planned a trip to go to Taiwan to go surfing. Mm-hmm. So Stephanie has a kid. Stephanie has her two children. She's now single mom to three children. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm in Taiwan. I was like, listen, if there's important things to do, I will do them, because I was going to be there for a pretty long period of time. And that's when, I mean, really, Up Next in Commerce was born, because I remember staying up late. Well, it was middle of the night for me, day for you. But I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's see what we can do. And that was the first time when we asked for, I think you were joking with me, like, well, how do you get a year-long contract? And I was just like, just ask for it. Oh, they just asked for it.
That's what I did. Because we were in quarterly contracts that were messing us up, and we were working ahead of schedule. We weren't getting paid. Things were delayed. And then, you were like, just asking for that. I was like, all right. And I went and asked for a year-long contract for Up Next in Commerce podcast. And that was our first, I would say, big victory within the company of getting a longer sponsorship contract and more predictability. And like, that started correcting.
That was the first time we could manage our cash flow right at that moment. I was like, this is unbelievable. They said yes, that we could do this. And so that was the lifeline to say, like, okay, we have steady income coming in. We have this. if everyone wants listening, think of the timeline, because I know this. I land on March 11th of 2020. On March 12th of 2020, schools, flights, and stuff begin getting reduced. And COVID's about to go down. The nation's about to go into shutdown. And that was actually the way we got out of that lease. Because force majeure. I don't know.
Whatever,
but it's in every contract.
Yeah.
We were able to get out of the lease. So we got out of that lease. Plus we got a year long contract. Plus I think we were already on our way out of the Warriors tickets at that time. But then that just sealed the deal. They're like, okay, well, you can't charge me for tickets to something I'll never be able to use.
Yeah.
And we were on our way. We got rid of our crushing debt. We no longer had a, that was it. That was like
2020 was fucking wild. When we're like talking about this now, I'm like, how are we literally surviving right now? Like it sounds like 10 years what we just discussed. And I keep remembering like, oh wait, that was literally 1 year time period of complete chaos. The worst I've ever felt. The most depression, the most, like, it was just nonstop though in 10 months going through this range of emotions. And I don't know. And like reflecting on now, just like it's bringing like goosebumps back up thinking about that time frame, and also having very fond memories thinking about you supporting me during all of that, and kind of keeping me sane. Honestly, you honestly kept me sane when I'd be calling and like, what the fuck am I gonna do? Like, I've got these kids and this and that, and I do not want this company to die. And like, I feel like you were able to kind of also support me in a very logical way. Still let me make my own bets, though, where you're like, I wouldn't probably do that. But like, okay, I'm still here to support that way, too. Like, even though I wouldn't do it that way, I'm still going to support you doing it that way if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, I'm a personal big believer in not there's no such thing as one way. You know, like I joked with some of our employees, for every move fast and break things, there's like, you know, slow and steady wins the race. There's very first mover advantage. There's like clearly second mover advantage, you know? Yeah. So there is no right way. And I used to advise Stephanie in the same way, which is like, you have to pick the path that you're most comfortable doing. Meaning like, you know, your personality, it fits that personality all the time, because you know, if you're a patient and slow calculating person, like, you're not going to feel good running fast, and no different vice versa. Like, you always feel bad. So it was an interesting time for sure. If we weren't somehow kind of both married into this, like, we were not actually married into the same family, because you're not married into that family. I am.
I'm like, we're basically family. Like, I'm always going to say that no matter what. I'm like, I imagine us with like an old timey picture where like you're holding a pitchfork and I'm like next to you, like, hello. That's my picture.
But
we're
not actually
family. But in a way, I'm going with that. Don't ruin my story.
Yeah,
I don't need to let facts get in the way of a good story. Okay?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking like, if she was just anybody, I would have easily just walked away. Like, this is just so hard. I was like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually do always think that. I'm like, I don't think Albert would have actually supported many other people. I am grateful that you stuck with me.
Well, I also saw, I mean, the kids and stuff played definitely a part. I definitely have a soft spot for children. You know, I don't ever want to see children suffer. I was like, man, this is really bad. She's got two babies on the way. Like, this is really bad. And so, no, I don't regret any of it. I mean, looking back on it, it is pretty crazy to think about, like you said, where, you know, bringing a company from really like, I think it was at a point where I think most people would say it's not worth saving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. That's where we were.
Yeah. 2020, wild year. I will say though, when I look back on, before we get into 2021 and keep progressing forward, I will say I look back at that time. And obviously I was saying it was like the shittiest I've ever felt and the worst I've ever felt, but I actually think it was the most pivotal thing that happened to me to kind of like have a shakeup. And then this continued to happen throughout my life now up until now. Like, these shakeups that come and happen, like, to rock my entire life are what needed to happen. It's like it put it on a whole different trajectory. It put Mission on a whole different trajectory. It built a whole new team around Mission eventually. It got us asking questions and like asking for year-long contracts and asking for our worth when we never were. Like, we never had that forcing function until it got to that point where I was like, you know what? What do I have to lose? Like, I literally have nothing to lose, and I might as well just ask these things. So I will say that even though that time period sucked, I actually think that's what it's like, defining moments in people's lives or in companies' lives that will either make or break you. But if you get past it, you might actually build something even better and do and see things differently than you ever would have before.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, right? Like, if you read, you know, we've obviously met and read stories about some of the best business operators, founders, whatever you want to call them. It's just impossible to get to where you are without overcoming, I would call it, significant adversity. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all great leaders go through like really bad times, I think, because that's where that's where you learn most about yourself. What can you do? What can you stomach? What can you handle? How would you approach problems? Because it's easy to hypothesize. A lot of people say, oh, I think I would do this. But until you're there, you don't know.
Only now, like, looking back on it, and now there's been so many more things like that have happened in my life. I mean, shit, I got fucking 2 lawsuits dropped on me. And at the time, I was like, this is the worst. And now I'm like, that needed to happen. That was good for my growth. But, like, I think I'm just seeing patterns in my life that I'm like, when shitty stuff happens now to me, I'm not as quick to be a victim in it and be like, oh no, like, this is the worst. I'm actually like, well, this has happened before. And in hindsight, it helped me in some way. It helped me make better decisions. It helped me get a better community. Like, there are benefits to it. And so I'm just starting to see that more. And maybe that just means a lot of bad things keep happening to me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to think about that, but it's not happening to me. It is happening for me. And I'm going to always stay optimistic.
That is biggest spiritual fooey talk.
You already know I'm spiritual.
Yeah, I know. Whenever I hear it, I'm like, well.
Yeah, that's where this show is going to go, baby. It's going to be spiritual mixed with business, mixed with life lessons, mixed with
my favorite word of advice to my kids. Just deal with it.
Yep. And on the opposite, don't talk to kids like that, guys. But anyways, so that was a very high level great recap of 2020. What happened in the next episode? We're going to go through 2021 and the chaos that ensued there. So yeah, tune in tomorrow to be able to hear part 2.